All right, 9:40 on this Tuesday morning. Partly cloudy sky, still cold out there. We'll detail the weather forecast coming up in just a few minutes. Well, as we talk about reopening the country, how and where we go to work is going to look a lot different, and that might mean changing some of the laws and rules that pertain to the workplace. Joining us right now, an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, Oliver Dunford. Oliver, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
From a legal standpoint, what are some things that might need to change as we begin to experience this new normal here in the United States?
Well, what we've seen already is that a lot of governors with their emergency powers are lifting a lot of restrictions that are normally in place. For one example, Governor Cuomo of New York issued an executive order that allowed doctors licensed in other states and in Canada to temporarily practice medicine in New York. There's obviously a bigger problem in New York than elsewhere in the country. They have a higher demand for doctors, and so they are allowing out-of-state doctors to practice there. And I think those kinds of things are the things we want to see in the future. We want to see fewer regulations so that demanded goods and services can get where they need to go.
What's it going to take to make that happen, though? Is that going to mean new laws that are going to have to be enacted at the state and federal levels?
Yeah, mostly state. The federal government can get involved in things like preventing states from discriminating against out-of-state goods and services, but most of these reforms will have to be in-state. In the 1950s, for example, something like 1 in 25 jobs required a license, and now it's something like 1 in 4. And those jobs are things like braiding hair, interior decorating, floral designs, things which pose no threat to health or safety or other traditional excuses for the government to get involved. And so we'll need the states to reconsider whether all of these licenses and other regulations that restrict people from working, for example, people working from home, there's a lot of restrictions on that. And it struck me a few weeks ago that many of us who are lucky enough to be able to work from home are probably violating some zoning law or some other law that restricts these kinds of jobs. And so hopefully people will see the value in working from home and the value in making it easier for people to work.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because we were already heading toward kind of a changing, more gig-based, well, I don't want to say based economy, but certainly a lot of jobs are the so-called gig jobs where people are working as independent contractors. And we're probably going to see a lot more of that post-COVID-19, aren't we?
I think so. We've definitely seen more telework, obviously, by necessity in these cases, people working from home. We currently have a lawsuit in California against a law which is called AB 5, Assembly Bill 5, which put severe restrictions on independent contractors. For example, writers are limited to publishing a certain number of articles or essays over a certain period of time. And these kinds of restrictions make no sense. The goal in California was presumably to encourage employment, to encourage companies to provide benefits for employees. But what it's done instead is it's made it more expensive to hire people, and it has put independent contractors either out of work or limited the work that they can do.
Of course, it's going to take a willingness of state legislatures to enact some of these changes. Here in Michigan, Oliver, our governor is facing a lawsuit over what some have seen as an extreme use or overuse of her emergency powers, really debating whether or not we are currently facing a health emergency. I just wondered if you had thoughts on that as we begin to, you know, see that COVID-19 is going to be a long-term proposition for us. At what point does it become less of an emergency and more of a way of life?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what lawsuit you're referring to, but as a general matter, the emergency powers obviously can exist only if there's an emergency, and in many states the legislature can intervene and stop. And I think there has been some efforts like that in Michigan, and also a lot of these emergency orders. So the legislation that allows emergency orders put a time limit on it, so they can extend only 30 days or 60 days or something like that. But as you mentioned, as this is going to continue for a while, and so the question is going to be, are these lockdowns or are these phased openings, are they needed anymore, or to what extent are they needed? And so your governor, for example, although perhaps a little unfairly criticized, but she did have stores rope off certain areas and prevented the sales of seeds and paint and things like that. And so the question there is that really related? Does that have anything to do with protecting people from the virus or helping us respond to the virus? And so as this goes on, I think in many cases it's a judgment call. People like to say, well, we're being guided by data and science, but there's a lot of unknowns out there. And unfortunately, courts are going to be especially deferential in these kinds of cases. They're going to defer on the side of precautions. Although I think as time goes on, and we've seen protests across the country, people are want to be let out, want to get back to work, and so at some point we'll see some maybe even some judges getting involved and saying this goes too far.
Oh, I think there will be a lot of lawsuits. Absolutely. A lot of judges will have some voice over this. And really, it will come down to an argument of which is worse, mass layoffs and the interruption to our economy or the public health threat of COVID-19. And it probably as we learn more about this coronavirus and how it spreads and who's most at risk, we'll have to modify our behavior toward it.
Yeah, no question. And again, that the more we learn, the better. And science and data can't answer all these kinds of questions. It's there's reports out there that people are going to miss cancer diagnoses, and there'll be other negative healthcare effects in the future. And it's hard to precisely balance those negative health outcomes with the health outcomes that are caused by the coronavirus. So it is. It is a difficult call. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it is indeed. We'll see how it all plays out in the weeks ahead. Oliver, appreciate your perspective. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it.
Thanks very much. And if I could encourage your readers to go to pacificlegal.org and check out our roadmap for recovery.
All right, we will do that. Thanks, Oliver.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.